morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, and we're pleased to have in the studio today an alderman who is working for the city of Quincy and now wants to be mayor. He's running as an independent in the upcoming election, Jeff Van Camp. And of course, the most important thing about the Mary Griffith Show, it's live and local, and your phone calls are welcome. So 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. And again, let's all be nice to each other, but you certainly can ask a tough question if you want of Jeff Van Camp. So, Mr. Van Camp, let's introduce yourself to our audience. What do you do for a living? What kind of family do you have? Are you a Quincy native? We need to know all these things.
Well, good morning. And the first thing I have to say is it's wonderful to be sitting here with the Queen of the Universe, who I hear has been here for a little while now.
29 years I just had.
Just celebrated your anniversary. Congratulations.
But see, I never have to run for re-election. So.
Well, I remember you from high school, Mary, and
yes.
Everybody had high hopes for you, and you have achieved beyond everyone's wildest dreams. So.
Okay, well, my parents had hoped I would be a lawyer and be in a New York City law firm by now, but thank you for thinking that I fulfilled everyone's dreams.
You did better.
I did better.
You did better. So, but enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Yes, really. I was going to say, it's nice to have a politician talk about me, but please, more about you now.
To answer your questions, yes, I am a Quincy native. Born and raised here in Quincy. Went to Quincy Schools, kindergarten, Go Monroe School. I want to try to get a tour of that before they tear it down.
Better hurry.
I know. Quincy Junior High School, and then on to Quincy Notre Dame High School, class of 1979, and graduated from Quincy University in 1984. Stayed here in town, went on. Actually, it was kind of a welcome back Cotter moment. I went back to Quincy Notre Dame High School after I graduated from college and was an English and religion teacher and also was an assistant volleyball coach, and I really loved that. That was just that was a fantastic job. A couple of other career highlights, I guess, professionally. I spent 10 years at Quincy University, one of the tremendous assets that we have here. In Quincy. I started as director of their annual fund, was in charge of their fundraising. They ran into some relatively dire straits in the enrollment side, so they asked me to take over the admissions department. And that did not sit well, frankly, with the admissions team, and so they all quit, which was a kind of a tough thing. But I was able to put together my own team of people, articulate some very clear priorities, energized that team, and by the time I left 5 years later, they were having some of the largest incoming classes they had had for years. As a matter of fact, it was a time where the president of the college actually hosted a private luncheon for the admissions staff and handed out bonus checks because we had done such a good job. And I don't know when that's ever happened, even since, and I know it really hadn't happened before. I've had a number of other career opportunities. Currently, I'm at Chaddock. I'm the director of development there. Absolutely love it. I've been on this show talking about Chaddock before, and I know my boss, Debbie Reed, has been here too. It's, again, one of those tremendous assets that is almost sort of unsung in Quincy. Probably the most salient experience I've had there, again, in terms of communication and priorities and team building, is the fact that we've just opened an $11 million school on the campus, not just for the kids who live on Chaddock's campus, but for community children as well. And that started more as nothing more than a dream and some sketches on a piece of paper, and it took shape. And I was able to put together actually a team of teams across the state and, again, energize them. A few years later, we had a new school.
Okay, so you currently are employed at Chaddock School.
Yes.
And you're hoping to be employed by the city of Quincy as our next mayor.
Yes.
Jeff Van Camp, let's talk first about your relationship with the Democratic Party. You are running as an independent. You ran as an independent for alderman. But at one time, you were in the leadership role in the Democratic Party, were you not?
I was. Actually, back it up a little bit, because this is one of the things that people have a hard time wrapping their head around, the fact that I'm running as an independent. Actually, after I worked at Quincy Notre Dame High School, I went to work for about a year and a half for then Congressman Dick Durbin. He had an office here in Quincy, and when you called your congressman, as I found a lot of people do, I was around here, I was the guy that you were going to get. Now, frankly, the congressman wasn't calling me for advice on how to handle relationships with Russia or, you know, at what age people should be retiring for Social Security. About 10% of that job was spent setting up or attending meetings, and the other 90% was constituent service. People had trouble with the IRS, the EPA, the Veterans Administration, Social Security Administration. They would call me. I was able to help them cut through the red tape to get the services that they deserved. You know, I'm very proud of what I did for Dick Durbin. As a result of that, I was asked to chair the Democratic Party of Adams County, and I was 29, 30 years old. I was very flattered, and so I took the job. You know, I say it was a job. There was no money
involved.
There was
involved.
It was totally voluntary. And the thing is, I met some fantastic people on both sides of the aisle. But the absolute hyper-partisanship that I saw, again, on both sides of the aisle, really turned me off. And the tipping point, the turning point for me, Mary, was when Art Tenhouse was up for re-election, and the people on my team were telling me, well, we have to find somebody to run against Art Tenhouse. And I just frankly said, why? You know, Art is a good guy. I know him personally, and I think he's doing a good job of representing us. I don't care if he's a Republican or not. He's a good representative, and that's the kind of person we want in there. But they weren't going to hear anything about it. So, frankly, a couple of the other county chairmen in the area made an end run, and they found somebody to run against Art. And, of course, it was unsuccessful on their part. But that was really the tipping point for me. I just didn't have it in me to attack somebody just because of the fact that they had an R or a D behind their name. So I walked away from that game, and I've been an independent ever since.
And that's been quite some time ago. But still, now your opponent has some ads that are not quite so flattering to you, and he's trying to make you seem like you're still a Democrat. So I guess we want to clear this up. You're running as an independent, and I'll just go on record as saying I think it's absolutely stupid that we have Democrats and Republicans in city council government, because my street is not a Democrat or a Republican street. It just has a hole in it. So how hard is it to be an independent? You have support of several Republican, high-ranking Republicans, even aldermen who have given you support. Mm-hmm. And ironically, one Democrat on the city council has gone and supported Kyle Moore. So you've got support from Republicans and not some support from Democrats. So how do you describe yourself as independent? What does that mean?
Independent means this: on the local level, the political stereotypes mean or should mean absolutely nothing. You know, and I said this on the day I announced my campaign, Mary. On the national level, on the state level, there are clear differences between the parties. But right here in Quincy, those political labels just don't apply, frankly, until it's election time. And then they seem to mean the world. Now, you ask how hard is it to run as an independent. I'll be honest with you, it's brutal. Because both parties, established parties, they make it darn hard even to get on the ballot. If I had decided to run as a Democrat, or if I decided to run against the mayor in a Republican primary, I would have needed maybe 100 signatures, you know, just to get on the ballot. I needed over 800 to get on the ballot as an independent. They don't make it easy. Fundraising, very difficult as an independent when you don't have the benefit of those established political parties coming at you. I know it's come up several times in some of the debates about making the hard decisions. Trust me, that's a hard decision to make, to stick to your principles and to stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm with you. Here locally, those party labels don't mean anything. I would be thrilled if 2 years from now we have a referendum on the ballot, frankly, that says municipal elections are going to be nonpartisan. If you look at my record of community service as the president of the Quincy Public Library Board, vice president of the Quincy Park Board, even with Quincy Regional Crime Stoppers, those are all nonpartisan, nonpolitical agencies and organizations that exist for one person or one purpose, and that is to make Quincy a better place. That's all I want to do. That's all I've done, you know, in my community service career. And I think the best way to go about making Quincy better is to just eliminate those lines. This election is not about giving people the opportunity to cross party lines. It's about giving people the opportunity to ignore them. And the response I've gotten has been absolutely phenomenal.
You voted, you say public safety is going to be your number one issue if you are elected mayor. How did you vote when the vote came up to close the fire station near 24th and Cedar?
I was not even on the city council when
okay.
that vote came up.
Okay.
I was on the city council when the vote came up to restore the funding to open Station 6. That was a very big deal. I think closing it was a huge mistake. Laying off or not laying off, I say that and I get corrected for it. Eliminating four police officers from the budget that year was a huge mistake. What happened was the state was threatening to reduce funding to the city very significantly. So the mayor put together a budget that reflected those cuts. I call that a doomsday budget. You know, this is the worst case scenario. This is what might happen. Developing that budget, probably a prudent thing to do. But the thing is, doomsday never came. Those cuts didn't come. But still, they went ahead and closed Station 6, and they went ahead and eliminated those four positions from the police force. What happened with Station 6 was that response times in that district went up an entire minute. Now, you think 60 seconds doesn't sound like that long a time, unless it's your house that's on fire. And the police chief will tell you that with the materials that are used in homes now, a fire will double every 30 seconds. That's a long time. But the bigger question is this. Mostly, the fire department beats the ambulance in a medical emergency, you know, as first responders. 60 seconds is a long time when it's you or your loved one laying on the floor with a heart attack. That can mean the difference between life and death. Thank God nobody died. But that's not the point. The point is those response times went up very significantly, and it took really strong, severe action from the city council just to get the mayor to put that back in. And that's the only reason that I voted, you know, for the budget last time. Again, eliminating those four police officers, huge mistake. It saved the city some money, but that was in a year when we had five murders. Violent crime went up 8%, and I know we'll probably talk about the crime rate because that's been the hot topic on both sides. But you know, those are the kind of judgment calls that the mayor has made that I completely disagree with.
We're talking with Jeff Van Camp. He's the independent candidate to be Quincy's next mayor. We'll give Mayor Kyle Moore his chance on Monday right here on the Mary Griffith Show. So you want public safety, fire and police protection to be your number one option. But there is a finite amount of money. And so some people have said that they like you as a guy, they like your ideas, but how the heck are you going to pay for this, Jeff Van Camp? So I'll ask that question because, let's face it, there are so many things that need to be done in the city of Quincy that to somebody it will be the most important thing. The mayor, with the city council, has to prioritize. So how are you going to pay for a full-strength police force, a full-strength fire department, repairs to our streets, city sewer? You know, we've got a mess, an emerging mess on our hands.
Right, right.
And we've kicked the can down the road a little way. So how are you going to pay for all this?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, Mary, you're right. We do have a mess on our hands, and we have an incredible reserve fund, $5.7 million reserve fund that is taxpayer dollars. I don't think we have a revenue problem right now. I think that what we have is a prioritization problem. I've said it often. I would have a lot more money in the bank, too, if I didn't take care of my house. You know, but if I see a crack in my foundation, I have to take care of that. I have to do the basic maintenance and the basic upkeep. So the first thing, frankly, that we need to do is look at where we're spending the dollars we have and reallocate those into our priorities. The mayor's priorities and my priorities, I think, are different, as the forums have shown. So in order to do that, a couple things have to happen. First of all, we have to very closely examine where we're spending all of our dollars. Now, some people say you can look at the budget and figure that out, and that is probably 85 to 90% true, but you cannot reduce the city of Quincy to a spreadsheet. There are people involved. There are jobs involved. There are responsibilities and roles that have to be examined, too. Any kind of efficiencies that we can find, we will definitely take advantage of. Things that in my opinion, do not meet the priorities that I've set forth, we'll take resources away from those and put those into the areas that I do think are important. The other thing that we have to do in terms of the budget is we have to get a handle on how we are funding our police and fire pensions. Because we've been doing it the same way for several years, we continue to get further and further behind on a percentage basis, and the process barely seems like a process to me. I've been through it twice now as an alderman, and to me it follows Einstein's definition of insanity, you know, trying to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I really am committed to putting together a very short-term working group to study and develop alternatives for how we fund our police and fire pensions.
But isn't that governed by the state more than a local committee could? I mean, how, enlighten me.
Yeah.
Because I thought that they had to pay a certain amount of money every year because that's what the state told them was necessary to make it, you know, what's that word,
actuarially sound.
Actuarially sound, yeah.
There you go. We all learned a new word today. You're right. The state has control over how much we are supposed to have in those funds by the year 2041. You know, we have to be funded at a specific level. The way we've been doing it is look at state actuarial tables that say this is how much money you should be putting into your pension funds, and then hiring an outside actuarial firm to say this is how much you should be putting into your actuarial funds. And then we debate the difference between the two numbers because one is always higher, and then pick the one that's going to cause the least amount of pain, either to the budget or, frankly, politically, and go that direction. The state tells us that we have to be funded at a specific level by a specific date. We determine how we come up with the funds. Right now, those funds come from property taxes primarily. That may or may not be the best option for us. But as in my experience on the council and in the experience of others, we haven't really taken a good, hard, systematic look at what are some of the other options we have for getting the money to fund those pensions. There are some people who say, no, there's no other way to do it, you know, and I think that's nuts. We have to at least look at it, you know. Let's come up with some alternatives and options, present those to the city council. Not for if we pay our pension, but how we come up with the money. That is within our control.
Jeff Van Camp, my guest today. Jeff, slip on your headphones because we have a caller. This caller has waited patiently to get in on the Mary Griffith Show, and of course he got my headphones, which fall apart every time you touch them, so we'll give him an extra second.
Thanks for the warning.
Thanks for the warning. Yeah. Oh, by the way, put on your headphones, but don't touch them because they'll fall apart.
Right.
Thank you very much for hanging in there with us. What is on your mind for Jeff Van Camp?
Mr. Van Camp, I think you have a common sense and humane approach, which I appreciate. When Station 6 closed, it concerned me. Because I live close to there. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it reopened, but if the police and fire are behind you, I certainly am, because without firefighters and police, the whole city's in trouble. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
You got a good endorsement there. We'll see what the next caller has to say. Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, this is easy. Bring it on.
good morning. You're on the air for Jeff Van Camp.
Hi, I'd like to ask Mr. Van Camp about the being an independent candidate. How would he plan to deal with the state of Illinois and the federal people who belong to political parties and have their own agendas?
Okay, we kind of talked a little bit about independence, but it mm-hmm. is true. The city of Quincy does not exist in a vacuum. I guess you'd have a pretty good relationship with Dick Durbin. Would you have a good relationship with Bruce Rauner? I don't know. I may be assuming something there. I may be assuming facts. Not already ascertained. But how will you? You know, obviously, the Republican Party, the real hardline Republicans, are supporting your opponent.
Yeah.
But so what will happen? Do you think that Randy Freese and Jill Tracy won't talk to you if you get elected mayor? Or how are you going to deal with it?
No, actually, one of the first things on a very lengthy to-do list I will have after I'm sworn in will be to reach out to both of them. They're both very good people, and they represent this area to the absolute best of their ability, and they have the best interests of Quincy and the region at heart. I have a very difficult time believing that that would change because we don't have a Republican sitting in the mayor's seat. It benefits them. It benefits the region. It benefits the state for Quincy to be as strong as it can possibly be. So my hope and my expectation, frankly, is that my relationship with them will be fantastic.
We have many questions for Jeff Van Camp, but we are a for-profit radio station. We must take a commercial break. And so here at 20 minutes before Fox News at the top of the hour, we will do that. I've got tons of questions we haven't gotten to, but your questions are most important. So you hang on the line, we'll put you on the queue, and you'll be up next to talk to Jeff Van Camp. The phone lines are jammed. That's what we love. And so we'll go to our first caller. Good morning. What's on your mind for mayoral candidate Jeff Van Camp?
Hello. I'm just interested in the fact that Dave Ramsey tells us that we should have 2 months what our income is savings. And I heard the mayor say that we have 1 month. And the infrastructure in Quincy has been bad for a long, long time. We had our name in for a new sidewalk for 30 years. The sidewalk we had.
Okay, ma'am, we don't have time for all your individual concerns. I'm just protecting Mr. Van Camp from this, because what is your question? You said we should have 2 months reserve, and now you say we don't spend enough. So what is your question?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we just recently got a sidewalk.
Right.
And
okay.
In front of our house, we
right.
had three blocks of new sewer put in, as did some other areas in the town. And I don't know how we are expected to, how are you supposed to do all these things that are needed, especially our streets and our infrastructure, how do you deal with this?
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's a basic question. Yes, how do you deal with it? Now, this, of course, improvement happened under Mayor Kyle Moore's administration, or maybe
exactly.
under your administration since you were an alderman. The talk about reserves.
Yes.
What you need for a family is a little bit different than city government, although we all agree there has to be some kind of reserve. But your premise is, Jeff Van Camp, that our reserve at the moment is just a little bit too high. We should be spending some of those reserves for more important things like collapsing sewer lines and water main breaks all over Quincy.
Here's the thing. If your priority is to save for a rainy day and you're putting away that much money for a rainy day, what you're doing is ensuring that you're going to have a rainy day. I just think that that's a wrong-headed approach. Now, Dave Ramsey notwithstanding, the government finance officers administration, some bean counters in Washington, D.C., have also said that a municipality should have a full 2 months of operating expenses in reserves. As I said before, I would have a lot more money in the bank, too, if I didn't take care of my house. When we have the significant problems that we have with our infrastructure, with our sidewalks, with our streets, with weeds growing up along the right-of-way, drive up and down Broadway, and you can see it for yourself, or go off on some of the side streets, I think that sitting on $5.7 million taxpayer dollars is not a prudent thing to do.
How much reserve is that? Is that 1 month reserve? What reserve?
No, that's closer to 2 months.
Okay, so we have a 2 month reserve.
Right.
But you're saying that in these times, it would be more prudent to spend down some of that reserve to solve problems that are only going to get worse.
Well, actually, and it goes to my point too, that we, in my opinion, we really don't have a revenue problem because the reserve amount has grown so significantly. Last year in the budget, there was $1,058,000 that was budgeted specifically into the reserves. Those are dollars that in my opinion, and I hope at least 50% plus one of the voters in a couple of weeks agree with me, could and should be better spent. Not only that, but again, to meet with my priorities, we really need to examine city spending as a whole and reallocate those dollars into the things that, that frankly I believe are the most important, which is our infrastructure and our police and firefighters. And I want to say one more thing. I know we have a lot of callers too. At no point have I ever said we are going to hire more firefighters. And at no point have I ever said we're going to hire more police officers. That's a critical distinction, because that's something that people are frankly, you know, fans of my opponent are really putting forth. Well, how are you going to hire all these new cops? How are you going to hire all these new police officers or firefighters? You know, and I have never said that. The reason they're supporting me is not because I promised them that we were going to increase their budgets. They're supporting me because they feel that their voices have not been heard by the current administration. Nobody knows how to police this city better than the men and women who were sworn to police the city and protect us. And when they feel that their jobs are not necessarily being taken for granted, but that they're not appreciated or respected enough for their input to count, that's when they start looking at other alternatives, and that's why they came to me. I promised increased communication between the mayor's office and the firefighters and the police officers. That's why they're endorsing me. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with manpower.
We go to our next caller. Thank you for your patience. You're on the air. What's your question for Jeff Van Camp?
You talk about the increase in crime in Quincy. Do you think the police are doing a bad job?
Okay. The increase in crime in Quincy, which, of course, when we have a thing called statistics. You have to have a pretty big pool. Mm-hmm. You know, if there were five murders one year in Quincy.
Right.
That was way off of, you know, what the norms
are. That was a complete aberration.
And if you have no murders in Quincy next year, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily a safer place, because if I'm getting robbed or raped, I don't care if less people got murdered. I still got robbed and raped.
Right.
But she brings up a good point. So is Quincy an unsafe town? And if it is an unsafe town, is it the fault of the Quincy Police Department?
That's a phenomenal question, and it's one that has come up a couple of times. Quincy is a wonderful community. It's a fantastic community. Quincy has an incredibly bright future. We have so many things that are going well right now. But what we don't have is somebody who is willing to stand up, frankly, and name the elephant in the room. We do have an increasing crime rate, and it's growing at a relatively alarming rate. The Quincy Police Department is among the finest in the world. They are doing a fantastic job. I don't feel like they have the support that they need, the communication they need from the administration. Frankly, there are some resources that they are lacking that I think should probably be provided to them. They are doing the absolute best that they can. What we have to do, in conjunction with the Quincy Police Department and with social service agencies and with businesses and with churches across town and with our business partners and with other members of the administration, is listen to them and put together a solid action plan for how we reduce crime in the city of Quincy. Determine what we're going to address, what we're going to attack, action steps for making that happen, and then put our resources into those action steps. The police know what needs to be done. I want to make sure that they have all the resources they need in order to make it happen.
And I may say that drugs are the number one driver of crime. And so, you know, you can have 1,000 police officers, but I encourage everyone to go out and buy a over-the-counter drug test kit and administer it to your 17-year-old grandchildren.
Sure.
And that's where the problem is.
Sure.
That's where the drug problem is. Okay, we're working down our way. We're going to try to get there. Good morning. Thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
Mary, I would like to ask Mr. Van Camp what he thinks about our garbage collection system and how the city got to this point.
Okay. What do you think about garbage collection?
Well, to be honest, I was going to city council meetings when the debate over the garbage collection first began. And frankly, the night they voted for the current garbage collection is the night I decided I was going to run for the Quincy City Council. Because I had never seen, over the course of months, the amount of bickering, debating, back and forth, frankly, lack of leadership that took place during that debate. And then finally, when we ended up with this hybrid system, as it's called, you know, now we have some people with stickers, some people with totes, some people with private haulers. We have, you know, we bought new garbage trucks, retrofitted them with hydraulic arms to pick up the totes. They said at the time we needed 1,500 residents to take the totes in order to make the program break even. I think they've sold less than 800 of them. But the bigger point also is this. When they bought those garbage trucks, they didn't do the one common sense thing that I would have done and that anybody with any kind of an executive background would do, and that is talk to the people who are actually going to be using it. You know, the garbage men, they're not going to go out on a limb and say this, but I've talked to them privately. They don't like the new trucks. First of all, they have to ride on the side of the trucks instead of behind, so they're much more dangerous for the riders. The arms don't make it any more efficient. Certainly, the system itself is not more efficient, and there have been times they don't have enough horsepower to actually get up the hill at the landfill. They either have to be pushed or pulled to get up there. You know, that would have been a simple conversation to have with some of the guys at Central Services to say, what do you think about this? And we probably could have made better use of that money, too. So it's a completely inefficient system, but as long as garbage is getting picked up, it's not something that I really want to tackle and try to revisit again.
Okay. We want to give you a chance to talk about property tax and sales tax issues. You mentioned that you wanted to talk about some other ways to pay for things. Well, the city of Quincy already has a sales tax. Mm-hmm. We've lowered our property taxes significantly over many mayors. I mean, every mayor has been so proud of how much they've lowered property tax that I've said to them, well, if my water main in front of my house falls in and my house is swallowed in a sinkhole, I don't care. But what about sales tax? Is there a way to increase sales tax revenues without increasing the percentage, or would you be in favor of increasing the percentage to get some of these immediate infrastructure things done?
Well, first of all, go back to property taxes, and under the current administration, the property tax levies have increased every year under the current administration. But as far as sales tax goes, Quincy lives and dies by sales tax. I mean, it's well over half of our income, so we have to do that. Quincy is a regional economic hub, and we have to keep that in mind. So raising our sales tax is probably not the answer. Increasing that base is an answer. If we can bring more businesses into town, that's definitely going to help us. By the same token, I'm not in a position where I want to say we need to offer more incentives. We need to offer more tax breaks to the businesses coming in over and above what we already do, because we're already giving away a lot of money to them. And there are plenty of businesses here in Quincy who have been around for a long time who are very profitable, who have never asked for a dime from the city. You know, so I'm not sure that's necessarily the way to go. It comes back to my key point, which is there are a few things city government should be doing and we have to be doing very well. Protecting our citizens is number one. Maintaining our infrastructure is number two, and we have to promote an environment that retains and attracts businesses. So in order to attract new businesses, we need to be working more carefully and more in conjunction with folks from Grediff, and we need to be working more effectively with folks in the district and with the Chamber of Commerce and, frankly, with the Convention and Visitors Bureau to make sure that their efforts, as good as they are aligned around that one common goal, which is to promote Quincy from an economic and regional tourism hub. We bring more people in. The nice thing about sales tax is it's not just the people in Quincy who are paying it. You know, the more people that we can bring in.
Right. Well, then why not just raise it 0.25% or 0.5% and reap the largesse? Because, Is Sam's Club in the city of Quincy?
That's a great question. I don't even know for sure.
I mean, because I don't know if it is. And, I mean, we certainly drive on the road to get out there.
Exactly.
And our ambulance service certainly goes out there to catch them. Well, Jeff, we are out of time. And I always promise to give my guests a chance to make a final statement.
Okay.
So if you will make a brief final statement, I will go to the general manager's office and plead that I can't get all the commercials in and hope I don't get fired.
I will be embarrassingly brief, but one thing I do have to say about, you know, why not just raise the sales tax? That raising taxes is an absolute last resort. One of the questions one time was, is it acceptable? I'm an English major. Acceptable is one thing. Is it preferred? Is it a first resort? Is it something I ever want to do? Absolutely not. Now, as far as the closing statement, first of all, Mary, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
I decided to run for mayor on my own terms. I decided to run as an independent. That has turned out to be, a fantastic decision, because what I found was a huge number of like-minded people who agree with me that political stereotypes do not apply here in the city of Quincy. Consequently, over the course of this campaign, from when I announced last October until now, I have been endorsed by Republicans, I've been endorsed by Democrats, I've been endorsed by three deputy mayors or directors of administrative services, Democratic and Republican, and the Quincy firefighters and the Quincy Police Department. I think that sends a pretty clear message from the people who know what it takes to run this city and who have been on the inside and on the outside, that I am the clear choice for mayor.
Jeff Van Camp, the election is in April. We'll have Mayor Kyle Moore on Monday. Thank you so much.
Thank you.